Bicatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Bicatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're looking under the hood, you could say. We're cracking open the invisible architecture that, well, basically runs our modern world.
That's right. We're talking about rules that seem, you know, incredibly mundane, technical specifications, measurements, data formats.
Stuff you'd normally glaze over thinking about.
Exactly. But these things hold astonishing political and economic power. We are diving into the book Standards by Jeffrey Pomerantz and Jason Griffey.
And if you've ever wondered, say, why your phone charger looks the way it does or how global trade manages to function, the answer is standards.
But the core idea in this book, the real revelation, is bigger than that.
Yeah.
It's that standards are not just these boring technical agreements. They are fundamentally political, economic, social artifacts. Mm. They actually determine who holds power.
It's such a crucial realization. The authors talk about something they call infrastructural blindness.
Hmm. Blindness.
Yeah, like we just take these foundational rules completely for granted. And that leaves society, well, vulnerable. Because while we're all busy arguing about, you know, the latest political headlines,
right,
the actual rules governing the infrastructure of our digital lives, they're being written.
Yeah.
Often by a very select few. And guess what? They often favor massive corporations over, say, the public interest.
Understanding this hidden structure is just key to understanding power today, especially technological power. It's the difference between being a passive user, just accepting things,
and being an informed participant in how our world is actually built.
So let's talk about the authors for a moment. Pomerantz and Griffey. They bring together these two almost perfectly complementary perspectives.
Yeah, tell us about Pomerantz first.
Okay, so Jeffrey Pomerantz brings the academic weight. He's an expert in digital libraries, metadata, information architecture. He gives us the theoretical framework. He really analyzes how these tiny decisions, like how data is structured, can dictate which businesses thrive.
Or which information is even accessible. Exactly. Or what effectively gets erased.
And then there's Jason Griffey. He's the technologist, right? The librarian, the futurist.
Yeah.
Worked with places like the Internet Archive.
Right. He brings that boots-on-the-ground experience. He knows precisely how protocols think Wi-Fi, USB, how they're actually negotiated, built, implemented in the real world.
So you've got the theory and the practice.
Precisely. And their partnership is so valuable because their shared background is in information science, which is essentially the study of how information gets organized.
Oh, okay.
So that gives them this unique lens to see standards not just as like neutral engineering rules,
but as tools, mechanisms for organizing society and achieving this key thing, interoperability.
Interoperability. That's the magic word here, isn't it?
It really is. The ability for different systems, different devices, different platforms to actually talk to each other. That's the bedrock of efficiency, of competition.
And the goal of this book is basically to demystify that whole process, to show that these complex, often very technical negotiations shouldn't be some arcane topic just for engineers. It's critical for everyone.
The book really bridges the physical and the digital, too. They look at standards. We literally touch every day, credit card sizes, electrical plugs.
Things you never think about.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the foundational stuff, like the protocols that literally hold the internet together. But the core idea they establish early on is this: standardization, even though getting there is often messy and contentious.
Oh, yeah.
It's what radically reduces friction. It's what allows complex systems to function on this massive global scale.
What I found really striking was how they expose the process. Standards creation. Mm-hmm. It's never just a purely logical, technical thing.
Right.
It's always a fierce negotiation. A political struggle, really.
Yeah.
You've got competing interests, banging heads, corporations wanting dominance, governments wanting security, advocacy groups pushing for things like accessibility.
And that highlights this fundamental tension, this battle between open standards and proprietary standards.
Explain that a bit.
Well, open standards, ideally, they champion transparency, inclusive participation. The goal is freedom from being locked into one company's system.
Okay. So open is good for users usually.
Generally, yes. Proprietary standards, on the other hand, are tightly controlled by single companies. And the goal there, usually maximizing profit and establishing control over their users, locking you in.
And the authors argue the stakes here are just immense. They say the key battles for control in the 21st century, think AI, the Internet of Things, digital identity.
All the big stuff.
All the big stuff. Those battles are going to be decided right there in those quiet, often overlooked standards forums. We really need to know where the real action is happening.
Okay, so let's dig into some specifics. The book uses some great case studies to make these abstract ideas really concrete, starting with the sheer power of agreeing on physical things.
Right. The basic concept is simple. A standard is just an agreement to coordinate. They distinguish between de facto standards, things that win out through market dominance, like the QWERTY keyboard layout.
Which wasn't necessarily the best layout, technically.
Not at all. And de jure standards, which are set by formal bodies like ISO. But maybe the most compelling example of raw standard power. It's just a box.
You mean the standard shipping container?
Exactly. It sounds so dull. But they argue it's possibly the single most important standard of the entire 20th century.
Why? What was so revolutionary?
Its genius was its simplicity. A consistent size. Standardized locking mechanisms. That was it.
And that consistency, it changed everything. Before the standard container, cargo had to be manually unloaded and reloaded at every single transfer point. Ship to dock, dock to train, train to truck.
Yeah.
Slow, expensive.
Unbelievably inefficient. The standard container meant the same box could move seamlessly across ships, trains, trucks. It slashed transfer times, labor costs. Just exponentially.
So by agreeing on one simple physical standard,
they solved the intermodal transfer problem. It massively cut shipping costs, and boom. It was arguably the primary catalyst for modern globalization. It's the perfect illustration. A mundane, technical rule reshapes geopolitics and the entire global economy.
Wow. And the digital world just takes that power and, like, amplifies it infinitely. The internet itself, the book argues, is the ultimate monument to successful standardization, built on layers of protocols.
Yeah, the famous layered stack. And right at the foundation is TCP/IP, the Transmission Control Protocol, and the Internet Protocol.
Break that down simply.
Okay, think of IP as the standardized address system. Every device gets a unique address. TCP is the mechanism that makes sure all the little data packets get put back together correctly when they arrive at that address, like ensuring the letter arrives intact.
And the brilliance, the reason the internet just exploded was what?
It was that the standard was simple, it wasn't tied to any specific hardware, and crucially, it was open and free to use. Anyone could build on it.
Which brings us to how these things are governed. The book really highlights the unique philosophy of the Internet Engineering Task Force, the IETF.
Right. They govern a lot of the core internet protocols.
Mm-hmm.
And their motto. It perfectly captures their culture. It's bottom-up, meritocratic.
What is it?
We reject kings, presidents, and voting. We believe in rough consensus and running code.
Rough consensus and running code. I like that.
It emphasizes practical results and agreement based on technical merit. Not corporate power or government decree. That commitment to openness and, you know, what actually works is why the internet initially thrived as this shared open resource.
So the IETF model shows cooperation can work. But let's be real, when billions of dollars are potentially on the line, that cooperation often breaks down.
Oh, absolutely. It turns into fierce commercial competition.
Yeah.
The very structure that allows for openness is constantly under threat from proprietary standards trying to grab market control.
Which leads us straight into the famous standards wars. The book uses that classic example, VHS versus Betamax.
Ah, yes, the format wars.
To show that, often the best technology doesn't actually win.
Right. We all kind of know Betamax was arguably better quality, technically. Sharper picture.
But it lost. Why?
Because JVC's VHS played the standards game better. They licensed their technology widely, allowing lots of manufacturers to make cheap players, mass production, and the killer feature.
Longer recording times.
Exactly, which is what consumers actually cared more about back then. Forget pixel counts. They wanted to record a whole movie.
So that case just proves the author's point perfectly. The technical committee doesn't always pick the winner. The marketplace does. Strategic alliances, understanding consumer needs, that dictates the standard.
It's decided by strategy, not just soldering irons.
And that strategic control. It's alive and well today, especially with proprietary walled gardens. You know, sometimes I forget that Apple's whole closed ecosystem is fundamentally just a series of proprietary standards.
Totally. Whether it's their specific lightning connector or needing specific software, these act as subtle gates. They nudge or sometimes force consumers into their single controlled ecosystem.
And that limits interoperability with competitors' products, right? Accessory markets get controlled.
Precisely. That lack of interoperability is the key to their market control. It keeps barriers to entry high for competitors and protects their power.
Okay, so if we accept this premise, standards are politics by other means. What are the big themes we should really take away to help us become more informed observers, not just, you know, passive users?
Well, theme number one is that core idea we started with. Standards are political, not just technical. Every technical decision systematically embeds specific values, specific priorities into the infrastructure we all use.
Give me an example.
Okay, think about a technical decision on how to format, say, public health data. That choice could make it easy for researchers everywhere to access and analyze it. Or it could make it only accessible via expensive proprietary software.
So the technical choice directly impacts the political outcome, like transparency or accessibility.
Exactly. Which connects right into theme two. Standards create winners and losers. Standards create network effects. The more people use a standard, the more valuable it gets. This leads to winner-take-all markets.
And that creates huge economic barriers for anyone trying to compete, right? Which explains why companies pour money into lobbying standards committees.
Absolutely vast resources, which highlights theme three, the democratic deficit. These standards processes, they're often dominated by the powerful players, big corporations, technical elites.
Leaving who out?
Civil society groups, accessibility advocates, ordinary users like you and me. We often get marginalized. So if the public interest isn't actively represented in the room where it happens,
then the standards that come out will inevitably serve the powerful interests who are in the room.
Makes sense. And finally, theme four points to this necessary balancing act, the tension between innovation and standardization. Yes, standards provide stability, let things work together, but if you standardize too early or too rigidly,
you can stifle innovation, lock in older ways of doing things.
Exactly. The book suggests the best, most resilient standards are actually flexible. They have to leave room for improvement, for future innovation, to build upon them.
Okay, to really crystallize these ideas, the book offers some core statements, almost like axioms, that redefine how we think about technology and power. This is where it gets really provocative.
Yeah, the most famous line, the one everyone quotes, is number one, standards are politics by other means. It's just a direct challenge, right? Recognize these agreements are fundamentally about power, about implementing a particular vision for society through technology.
Number two is the one that really made me pause. Every standard embeds a theory of how the world should work. I'd honestly never thought about it like that.
It's a call to be critical. Look closely at the standard itself. How does it handle identity, privacy, data sharing? By examining that, you can uncover the hidden assumptions the creators baked in about how users should behave, what relationships matter.
Wow. Okay. Number three reveals this paradox about success. The most successful standards are the ones you never think about.
Their invisibility is proof they work efficiently, like plumbing. But that's also the danger. If we don't think about them, we can't question them. We can't examine the social, the political implications of the structures they create.
Allowing existing power structures to just remain invisible and uncontested.
Precisely. And finally, number four sums up why this matters right now. Standards wars are fought over the future, not just the present.
Meaning the decisions made today.
Whether it's for 5G or AI ethics guidelines or digital currency protocols, they create what's called path dependencies. They lock in certain technological paths, certain economic structures for decades to come. We are literally setting the rules for the next 50 years right now in these forums.
Great, deep breath. So how do we actually apply this thinking? For you listening, how does this framework help today?
Well, for starters, as an informed consumer, this knowledge is actual power in the marketplace. When you're buying, say, a new phone or laptop, choosing one that uses an open standard, like USB-C, which is now widely adopted, or standard Wi-Fi protocols over a device with a proprietary connector or software lock-in, that's a strategic choice.
You're essentially casting a vote.
Exactly. You're voting for a more open ecosystem. You're supporting competition, freedom from being locked into one company, rather than just handing control over.
And professionally, in our work lives.
You can apply this standards mindset immediately. Even just within your own team or project. Insisting on standardized ways of doing things early on, like how you name files, which communication channels you use, version control for documents.
It sounds basic, but
it's a micro application of the exact same principle. You're recognizing that agreeing on standards, even simple ones, is the quickest way to reduce friction, cut down complexity, and basically prevent chaos down the line. Standardization tames complexity.
And thinking bigger picture, civically.
The book gives us the vocabulary, the framework, to actually engage with policy debates about technology.
Mm-hmm.
We can advocate for government policies that mandate open standards, for example, for public data or government software.
Which would ensure greater transparency, accessibility,
and support crucial movements like the right to repair, which is all about fighting proprietary locks that prevent us from fixing our own stuff.
For me, I think the biggest takeaway was just realizing that this world we live in, the technological world that feels so natural, so inevitable, it's not. It's a deliberate construction. It's built on these foundational agreements that were often fought over.
Right.
And just knowing that transforms the technology around you. It stops being a given, something you just accept, and it becomes a choice, a result of past choices.
And that transformation you describe from being a passive consumer to an informed observer, that really is the book's ultimate gift, I think. Understanding that standards governance is actually a critical part of democratic participation in our technological future.
Yeah.
Because the structures being designed and written today for AI, for IoT, for whatever comes next, they will define our future. We have to make sure they're written transparently and that they serve broad public interests, not just the agendas of the most powerful players at the table.
A crucial reminder, we need to pay attention to the invisible rules.
Absolutely.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.